grace of God in Christ Jesus poured out in every gift of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of tender care, like a mother, like a father, you never forget your children, and you already know what we need. In all our anxiety, give us trusting and faithful hearts, that in confidence we may embody the peace and justice of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, in time of favor I have answered you, on a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways, on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and from these from the land of Sion. Sing for joy, O heaven, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 131 responsibly. O Lord, I am not proud. I have no haughty looks. I do not occupy myself with great matters or with things that are too hard for me.
But I still my soul and make it quiet, like a child upon its mother's breast. My soul is quiet within me.
O Israel, wait upon the Lord, for this time forth forevermore. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me is a very small thing, that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I'll be the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive after these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
Who here's ever worried about money? I can tell by your laughing that that everybody has. It seems that even in our own economic climate, money is a pretty strong driving force. Personally, I went to go fill up my gas tank when I found out that because of the revolution going on in Libya, that gas prices would skyrocket. Anybody worried about that? I can tell that some of you, I gave you something to worry about now. Sorry. Last Wednesday, I also went up to the Senate offices, and I took a class in professional ethics and boundaries. Pastor Heidi Hester, who was up there, said that it was sort of ironic that we were spending so much time talking about how to protect people in our congregation and ourselves, spending so much time worrying about this, when the text for this Sunday was about not worrying. We worry, and we worry, and we worry, thinking that if we could somehow just exert enough anxiety over our money issues, that we can change the circumstances that we're in. If we're not worried about acquiring more money, we're worried about protecting the money that we do have. It's a never-ending battle of anxiety. Yet we don't just worry about money, do we? There are all sorts of great things to worry about. For some people, worrying is an art form. It's a craft, really. There's some of us that believe that if we just worry enough, that we can somehow change the winds of that driving force, and that we can sail our boats in a new direction. There are some people who've been so beaten down by the storms of life that they're afraid to once again leave the dock. They don't want to risk the adventure because the last time they went out, it cost too much. The adventure is too scary to go on. The voyage is too bleak. It damaged the hulls of their ship. Why let God repair you if it could happen again? Why not just stay broken? These traumatic experiences have left them afraid to fully live the way God intended them to risk the adventure of love, hope, service. There's some people in the midst of a storm right now. You've risked the adventure. You're doing what God has called you to do, but there are storms. Maybe you're not in the storm right now, but you can see one. It's coming up. It's on the horizon. When the storms of life are crashing up against you, you don't feel like your life is going to hold together. You feel like you're just going to break apart in the water and drown. Some are sinking right now. You're drowning. You got the water up to your mouth. You're breathing through your nose. There are lots of industries that capitalize on worry, on these storms of your life. Has anyone here seen the Allstate commercials with Mayhem? No? Is anybody an Allstate agent? I was going to give you a plug. So there's this actor named Dean Winters, and he plays Mayhem. And there's a commercial where he's standing on the tree branch of a tree. And he starts off by saying, "I am a random windstorm." Then he starts jumping up and down on the tree branch until it comes crashing on the car below. The end of the commercial is the information on how to reach an Allstate agent, because you never know what's going to happen. I'm not saying your car insurance is a bad thing. We're supposed to have car insurance. But this commercial is supposed to create a worry inside of us. There could be a random windstorm, and a tree branch could fall and destroy my car, so go call your Allstate agent. Well, we need car insurance. That's the law. But there are some home security commercials that capitalize even more on this worry and anxiety. I remember seeing one commercial where a single woman is just finished having a party with a bunch of her friends. The last person in the line out the door is a man who says, "It was very nice to meet you." And then he walks out the door. Then he walks out the door. She smiles, turns on her security system, and then walks upstairs. Moments later, the man comes crashing through the door. The security alarm comes off, and he runs away. It's meant to capitalize on our fears, our worries, our anxieties. Something could happen when we are alone. We worry that we will not be able to weather the storms of life. Do we have enough car insurance? Are we protected enough? Can we get through this economic crisis? Can we get through being out of a job? Can we get through the constant bickering and fighting in our relationships? Do you feel like you don't have enough time or energy? Is there too much you're doing? I have this constant anxiety of my children choking. So it's very hard for me to watch them eat sometimes. Please don't come up to me after the service and tell me stories of your children or grandchildren. I don't want to have that anxiety reinforced at all. For some of us, this fear is really not about the storms. This anxiety is not about storms of life, but it's about being dead in the water. There's a great movie called Master and Commander, and it's based on the books by Patrick O'Brien. I'll never forget this scene where it's a terribly hot day on the ship. The sun is beating down on the men, and they're all lying around doing nothing. There's nothing for them to do. The water under the ship is not moving at all. It is truly glass. They are dead in the water. There are no wind, there are no waves, there's nothing to do. Some of you may be feeling like you're like that ship. You're dead in the water. You're not going anywhere. You do the same thing over and over again. The storms of life, they don't worry you. It's not going anywhere. This can be paralyzing. And yet there are some who have lived the adventures. They've sought the kingdom of God. They have fought the good fight. And they've decided that their adventure is over. Maybe prematurely. So many times when I've been working with people in hospice, they would talk to me and tell me that they were concerned that they didn't have value anymore. They didn't want to be a burden. They didn't see the significance of their lives anymore. Their identities were challenged as they were entering the twilight of their lives. Even now, as I talk about some of these worries, I can see on your faces that you're reflecting on your own worries, even those that I haven't given. But this is good. It's good that there is a space that can be created here to reflect on the things that you worry about. It's a good thing to reflect to those areas of your life that you need Jesus to enter, where you need God's wholeness and love. Jesus, he understood the worries his disciples were facing. These were a people who had left everything to follow Jesus. The disciples' needs were very real and very immediate. The allure of money is strong in any culture. And yet Jesus gives us a promise that God is in control, that God is the one who is providing for our needs and the needs of everything and everyone, that the world is truly dependent on God for everything. It's really no coincidence that I've been using nautical themes in the sermon today in talking about worry. Ships lead us on adventure. This church is designed with a nautical theme. This space was created to reflect on the one who guides our ship. Many churches have been designed with the ceilings to look like the hull of a ship. This church has been very intentional. We have port glass. We have pegs, nets. In the front of the church, there's an anchor. The lectern over here is also called, Pastor, what's it called again? Binnacle, thank you. It's called a binnacle. It's a navigation tool, because through it, we are directed to the Word of God. The Word of God directs our paths. The pulpit is designed as the bow of a ship, Christ speaking to us, leading us to himself. The chancel area here is the quarterdeck, where we are nourished with communion. Here, we have everything that we need. It is here that you're given direction where to go, that we are given courage to try the adventure again. We find rest from the storms of life. It is here we find value, receiving the words of life and forgiveness. I'm reminded of the words of Peter's when other disciples had turned away. Jesus asked him why he stayed with him. Peter responds, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus promises that when we follow him, we will have rest. "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls." In the scripture we read today, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Hear these words that give life. Seek direction. Cast your worries upon him who promises that if we depend on God, we will have everything that we need. It's here that we have hope and healing. Amen.